All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, here we are in the abandoned locksmith. The spooky abandoned locksmith.
Ooh. No, yeah. That wasn't me. That was a ghost.
It was a ghost.
It was a ghost of somebody who couldn't get into his car.
A ghost of somebody who has a specific. So we're here, and business has been hit hard. Mm-hmm. So I bought us some abandoned businesses to use for randomizations.
Okay. And not to set up as new businesses.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not an idiot. Like have you seen the economy? Like who's starting a locksmith now? So I've got all these locks here. These all belong to us. Mm-hmm. And I put them all on these little doors here. Because a lot of times locksmith places are also where you can have P.O. boxes for some reason.
Really?
At least in my experience, tend to be these weird multifunction, like a notary.
UPS store. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. UPS, like notary, typewriter repair, locksmith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to have you dig out a key at random from this key party, this key pool here, and then unlock one of these mailboxes here and see what game is in it.
Okay. Maybe we'll find a moldy flip flop.
We might.
Okay.
I hope so. Yeah. It's very similar to the other one, but this time we're the locksmiths.
Okay. Yeah. No, I wasn't busting your balls. I want another moldy flip-flop to complete the set.
Yeah. You want to be able to walk around in mold with resistance.
Yeah. Okay. So let me fish this out here. All right. Here's one. This looks good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now proceed to try it on every single one of these locks.
Okay. No, not this one.
Gonna go look at my phone.
No, not this one. For a while. Okay. This looks kind of like a car key. Weird. I'm not seeing this one. Okay, no, not this one.
You just text me when you're done, okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, Gary, I got it. It's open.
Okay. I didn't put a game in that one. Here. Here's another key. I'll be back.
Okay, cool. No problem. All right. Okay. No, not this one. Whew. Okay. No, not that one. All right, Gary. Okay. I got this one open.
Okay. Let me see. You know what? I think I actually only put in a game in one of these.
Okay.
And the idea was that the locks were supposed to be randomized, not the keys. So like the box is the random one. I don't know what I was thinking, man. I was really high on buying old businesses.
Okay. All right. We all make mistakes. I just missed a christening. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Sure. What's happening to Chris?
No, he got baptized. Yeah.
Is that when he becomes the Highlander or something?
Yeah.
So let me see if I can remember which one I did.
What the fuck game are we playing?
This one here that you can't get into without a magic spell, magic key.
Ooh.
Because it has been warlocked.
Oh, the game computer's going nuts. This game's fine.
I like this game.
Yeah.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name's Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering. Hide your dads.
Okay. And this week we're talking about Warlocked. This is a game we've made offhanded reference to in the past as being surprisingly good. This is my first time playing this. This is the real-time strategy game for Game Boy Color. And this was demanded by Aaron, who says, not a backdoor WAF, I swear. As a kid, my brothers got me this for my birthday to stop me from bugging them to play Warcraft 2 and Command & Conquer on our family PC. A good gambit, actually. Yeah. I was always bothered by the small screen size and lack of features compared to PC strategy games. Since then, I've heard that for the hardware, it's better than you would expect and has a following. But does that make it a good game or just a misguided novelty? I hope the Abject Suffering boys can let me know.
No, I'm glad we got backdoor WAF into the you know, to the vernacular.
There are a couple of people who are really nervous about being accused of trying to trick us. So,
sorry.
Not our intention.
Not our intention. Now I feel like I've made people feel bad. Wasn't my intention to do that. Yeah. So no, it's not just good in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. It is good for the platform.
Yes. This is, I mean, it's kind of in the same lane a little bit as Alone in the Dark on the Game Boy Color, in that it kind of doesn't pass the could should test. Like they could, yes. Is it as good as, you know, those games that your brothers were trying to get you to stop playing? No. Like these games are kind of made for a mouse and keyboard, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
It's not quite as like, you know, you play the NES Maniac Mansion with a controller because you want to play Maniac Mansion and because you get the soundtrack and
yeah,
you know, more pleasant graphics and stuff. And it's any port in a storm. Mm-hmm. This is not, you don't need, you know, you don't need a RTS as bad as you need Maniac Mansion.
Right.
You know, but this is very impressive for what it is.
Yes.
When this came out, when I was working at the Tow Truck Dispatch company, it was very satisfying to have this to play every night, you know, for a while. Like this was my game for a little bit before I started bringing in a black and white TV and Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah. So. It's funny, right? So this is kind of like a standard Warcraft. You're playing as like one side is the knights and the other is like the orcs. Here's a tip. For anybody who is making up a, you know, fantasy race or things like that, do not have anything in your game called Zog.
Yeah.
I understand. You think, okay, Z, you know, it's a rare letter.
So far, so good.
Oftentimes, you know, associated with villains or with wizards of, you know, let's say unclear moral intent. Og, right? Like Og, like I guess, you know, orcs or whatever. Zog. Also a racist term for Zion occupied government. It's what white supremacists say. That. Yeah.
I didn't know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Up until you said that.
It's an anti-Semite thing. Yeah.
Oh, well, so, that's unfortunate. Well,
I don't think they did that intentionally, but it's, you know, that's just
they did. Weird fucking flex.
Yeah.
This metaphor does not stand up, Bit Studios. whatever you're trying to say about the deep state, I did not pick up.
You know, I'm not accusing them of doing that intentionally. I'm just more throwing that out there for everybody. This is not the only thing that is called Zog. It's like a standard fantasy thing. And if you are trying to make your own fantasy world, maybe just don't step on that rake if you could help it.
Yeah. It's always good to know, you know, hey, new slur dropped.
Yes.
You know, just so you can avoid saying it.
Yeah.
The kind of tone of this is a little bit goofier than Warcraft, and Warcraft has always been a little goofy.
Yeah.
You know, and the art style and stuff is a little bit more cartoony.
Necessarily.
Which I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things about this is finding different wizards in this, which means that who all have the suffix wiz.
Yep.
So you get to find things like sleep whiz and stealth whiz.
Hog
and
whiz.
Sweat whiz. Yeah. Yeah, hog whiz. The sweat whiz.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah. Fuel whiz.
Man. I'm trying to see like a list of the different whizzes that are here.
There's a wizard guide on GameFAQs.
Ooh, yeah.
Crow whiz.
Yeah. Mud whiz.
And the mud whiz. New slur dropped.
Yeah.
It's very fascinating. Like this idea that you like, because I remember this when you play it, it's really cool because you find these whizzes and they're like hero units, but they can't be resurrected. So they end up kind of being like almost like a consumable. Like you want to use them, but you have to be really careful with them.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, a reason to go through these levels and really comb them for this. I also like the way that this Game Boy colorifies Fog of War by making it tile based. I think that's pretty clever.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Something that is kind of changed by working with this resolution I think more mm-hmm. than anything. And there's probably also like sprite limits that run up against this. When I think about real-time strategy games, A, this is because I'm really bad at them and oftentimes I only win through attrition, but I associate it with like large armies that I can like subdivide and send in mm-hmm. at different times and like maneuver around. You end up going around with pretty small parties in this, you know, a mm-hmm. couple of knights, couple of archers, maybe a wizard thrown on there. For spice or what have you. You end up with like maybe like four or five dudes in a given struggle, which feels mm-hmm. which almost makes this feel a little bit more like an indirect Diablo like or something like that.
Yeah, like a little skirmish
yeah
game. Yeah, this did make me have a hunger to do an RTS on WoF again.
Yeah,
and it just sucks because they're all so long. Like, I would love to play StarCraft 2 again, like for WoW, because that game is good as hell.
Yeah, but it's also three games.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we could do the first one. Mm-hmm. You know, we could do Wings of Liberty at some point. Like, mm-hmm. I've been half considering like putting that, sneaking that on the schedule, just because that's
a really, that really a like yeah,
yeah, that's super fun. This made me really want to play like get into another RTS. Mm-hmm. Single player RTS games that you just play for the story is my single player Smash Brothers. They just play it for the story.
Yeah, yeah.
That is me playing Left 4 Dead on my own just to play for the story. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, all of these competitive genres, like RTS is another one that I'm like,
yeah,
I just want to kind of play around with those mechanics.
Yeah, I want to play tennis, but I'm going to play it against a wall. Yeah,
yeah. I just want to build a cool little like fort. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love that StarCraft 2 embraced that.
Yeah.
I don't want to digress us too quick.
It's been 10 minutes.
I saw this on Twitter. I had this video running in the background.
Okay.
You know? And I want to watch it with you. It's 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Oh my God, Gary. Okay.
And I want you to tell me and tell the listeners what's happening in the video in real time, okay?
Okay. Can you send it to me? Oh, boy.
I have.
Oh, the... Whew.
So just describe what's happening.
The thumbnail is giving me something. Do I need audio on this, or?
I did not watch it with audio, but maybe, you know, I imagine the audio is not that impressive.
Okay.
So probably not.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Go.
Okay. We have a All woman. Right. She is pouring ice into a toilet. She's got sherbet, it appears there. Mm-hmm. That she is okay. There's another gallon of sherbet that she's putting on top of the ice in the toilet
Look
bowl.
How she squeezes the sherbet in, man.
Yeah, it's into a toilet bowl. Here come gummy yeah. worms, trolley gummy worms on top of there. Those are going to be inedible. New level here. She's opened up the tank. She's opened up the tank, Gary. She's yep. pouring Sour Patch Kids into the tank, which is empty, by the way.
She's upper decking this toilet with Sour Patch Kids.
So she's pouring this in. What she's going to be doing is, oh, here comes the Hawaiian Punch. she's pouring it into the tank. No.
Yeah.
No. Here comes the Sprite. You got to give it a little bit of life, a little bit of effervescence. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mixing the two, filling the tank up. That's a lot of sugar water, Gary.
So there are cheaper ways to ruin a toilet.
Yeah, there are.
It feels those, some Fanta.
Yeah, I got some Fanta. Those Sour Patch Kids are going to get clogged up in the line as they drop down, Gary.
Yeah, no, I don't think that this is
thought through.
You know, yeah, I don't think this is super thought through. But I mean, they do. There's a payoff to it. So I had this running in the background as we were getting ready.
Okay.
And at first I just thought it was ice, so I thought it was gonna be like a toilet cleaning hack.
Right.
And
right.
Then when I looked up and I saw this like beautiful melange
okay,
of candy.
She just ate one of the toilet worms. Okay. Here's
that toilet patch kids.
Yeah. Here is. He dropped the plastic glass, the plastic punch glass on the bathroom floor. They're outside. So this is. What is this? Is this a special outside toilet that they have? Have they repurposed
it's like
it? Have they bought this?
They're like
as a
park or something. It's like a which is
it's a public
grotesque.
Toilet punch bowl.
Yes. So they flush.
And here comes the Hawaiian Punch Fanta Sprite mix into the
the bowl full of
we
Sour
have the
Patch Kids
saying,
and sherbet.
Wow! Here comes the ladle.
We've achieved punch.
Yeah. Well, and it ends with them just like pathetically ladling out just like a little bit of the fluid. You have to let the sherbet melt a little bit. They have to let it foam up.
Yeah, it would be gross if you didn't do that.
What the fuck?
Isn't that incredible? Just seeing the beginning of it and then looking, like, I had no idea how to predict what that was going to turn into just from, you know, just showing up on my timeline and being like, oh, someone's putting ice in a toilet. They're going to do something.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as to clean it.
Right.
You know, because usually, like, toilet hacks are about cleaning it. They're not about making a delicious beverage in it.
No, on a sane planet.
Yeah. Like, but this is a way to make a punch, like a party punch.
Hey, you know what?
Fucking toilet in a park. The grossest thing that's ever, like, the grossest fucking place.
Yeah. It's a shameful, haunted location, always moist.
Yeah. This is so cursed.
Wow.
This is so cursed. And the tweet is like, white people need to stop. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be like, you know, not all white people about this at all. It is a gross oversimplification to say toilet punch is a white person thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a squares rhombuses thing to me, right? Where she's not wrong, but this is definitely a subset of, like, you know, the classic caricature, you know, the, like, this is closer to like gender reveal people, which are, again, very, very, very white. But this is like Instagram life hack stuff that is fucking gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, you know, when it was like, hey, you know, white folk need to wash their legs in the shower, I was like, you know what? You know, like, I know a lot of people who don't do that. I get you.
Yeah.
But this, it's like, I've never met and can't imagine meeting somebody who's using a public park toilet to make a delicious punch.
You wouldn't,
through using the flush mechanism.
You wouldn't continue associate with it. Like, I would not associate with them anymore. Because
like, if I found out that you did this, we'd have to break up the network.
I mean, the fact that they're making it includes the assumption that they expect people to use it.
Yeah.
Like, to consume things out of it.
The way you don't with a toilet.
Well, the way you hopefully don't with a toilet. Yeah.
Let's say I was Minecraft Marcus, the shitty billionaire.
Okay. All right.
I could just buy a toilet, like a food grade toilet.
Just a toilet, like this is the purpose for it. Like, I assure you, this has never contained poops.
This is only for making punch.
Right.
It's a unitasker.
Uh huh.
You know, it does not act as a toilet. It's where I make punch. What is your end game? Like, this has ruined this public toilet. Like, can you imagine being the poor janitor who has to walk up on this shit?
I mean, like, okay. So I've cleaned a number of toilets. I try to make sure my toilet stays pretty clean. The thing about a toilet is the visible part is not the only part of it. Okay. So if at any point this ever was an in-service, you know, fully commissioned toilet, you are assuming an awful lot about the cleanliness of the S pipe, about the cleanliness of the trap that goes down into this. Like, you ever seen a wax ring at the base of a toilet? Things fucking gross, dude.
They're not good.
So unless you have this entirely stopped up and like hermetically sealed, the bottom of the punch, you're gonna have little punch molecules swimming around at the bottom of the S pipe around the wax ring that are gonna swim back up and say, hey, guess what I brought up here? I brought some friends. Here's some staphylococcus, you know?
Yeah. It's so
this
horrible.
Might be a Jonestown thing. This woman might be trying to kill her friends.
Slowly. She's trying to give them all a emetic poison so she can make them all go to the bathroom and drown them in the toilet.
There's a problem with the toilet.
I was thinking, being very sad, like thinking about the janitor coming upon this. And then I made myself happy thinking about an ant coming upon it.
Ooh.
And like, I check this toilet every day. I've checked it every day for my entire life.
Shangri-La.
And it's finally paid off.
Oh, the fucking, you know? The fucking gummy city of El Dorado.
Yeah. Just like put your butt in the air and just shake it and just spray some pheromones and be like, meat's back on the menu, boys.
You called me crazy. You said, oh, yeah, you should really give up hope on this. It's a dry well. Oh, get ready to meet your new king, boys.
Yeah, like I've literally provided for the future of our people. Mm-hmm. Like I've insured many generations of ants because I check this toilet every day. They're gonna build statues of me.
Yep.
You know, because I found the ice cream toilet of my El Dorado.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's really just a lot going on.
It really is
in it.
Why a toilet? You can just use a punch bowl. You can make your gross punch in a bowl.
Yeah. I mean, just for stunt, you know, for Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Audacity.
For clout.
You know, but it really grossed me out.
Yeah.
I never thought about using the flushing mechanism to mix ingredients.
To accomplish exactly what would be accomplished if you just poured.
Because yeah, that is what it does. It's like the equivalent of throwing a bunch of heads of iceberg lettuce into the toilet and then filling the tank with ranch.
Flushing. Oh, I do like the idea. Okay, work this into a murder mystery where it's a two-stage poison.
Done.
You know? Okay. It's a two-stage poison where there is a clear base just in the bowl, and the person goes in and uses it. But when they flush, the catalyst is in the upper tank. So when it mixes, it creates a knockout gas or a deadly gas that'll kill the person. And then
then the assassin really hoping they take a quick drink before they go.
No. It turns into a poison that they inhale and it dissipates. And guess where all of it goes? It goes away. It goes down the pipe and out into the water harmlessly. Like, oh God, like, okay. So he died like suddenly, but there's no trace of anything because all the water washed away.
Yeah. It's a locked room mystery,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
There's the Comedy Bang Bang TV show.
Okay.
One of my all time favorite things they do these fake like reality shows.
Okay.
Like, current affair style gotcha things. They have one called Super Dope. And it's him putting a hidden camera in the bathroom to see whether people wash their hands.
Okay.
You know, it's like if somebody washes their hands, it's like soap. And then like a stamp comes down. And if they don't, it goes dope.
Okay.
And, you know, the premise, you know, of course, gets more outlandish because it's comedy. And at one point, somebody uses the bathroom, flushes, then turns around and washes their hands in the toilet. And he's like, soap. Like, it counts. The finale of it is a guy who goes into the bathroom. He's on the phone and he's talking about how sick his mom is. And he's got to make it home for the funeral and then leaves without washing his hands. It's like dope. Like, it's really good. Some hero finally put it on YouTube.
Oh, great.
It was missing for a really long time. But I love the idea of like you getting a pass because you wash your hands when you do it in the toilet.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, technically.
This exact tomfoolery is why most institutional toilets do not have the tank. It's why they're fed directly from the wall.
Because people are going to use that to cook stuff. And like,
I know that you're saying cooking for like linguistic like efficiency, but I love the idea of just like taking a little blowtorch to the side of the porcelain to get like a good like gumbo base up.
Really hot. Yeah. This is all like, you know, in prisons. Like, yeah, I imagine that is a thing. Like, there's a guy on YouTube who I watched for a little while who was talking about prison, like prison life, and did a bunch of prison recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, find that stuff interesting.
Yeah.
And he never got to like cooking in the toilet, but they would, you know, obviously make toilet wine.
Of course.
Which everybody knows about.
Bruno. Yeah.
Which is not that different from this. And that's one of the things I was thinking about with this video is that like, there is kind of like a gross tourism aspect to this, you know, there's a reed.
Yeah, like they're I don't know. I resist any condemnation on that because I've been fascinated with it for my entire life based on hearing stories from my family who have worked as COs, bringing back stories of like what people have done in cells that they've just come across in their actual life. So
yeah,
I feel like, I, yeah.
We find that stuff interesting too, but I'm not going to be like, hey, let's throw a prison food party.
No,
you know, give me and all my affluent friends to like pretend we have the, you know, we're the subject of institutional terror.
Right.
And, you know, just go for it.
No, that would be that would be bad and in poor taste. You know, like when you cursed me with the knowledge of welfare parties or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whenever we talk about that,
like white trash.
Yeah.
Families.
That's a good that's a good topic for a YouTube channel though. Doing like prison hacks and stuff. Like, hey, here's how, you know, here's what we do with an outlet to power a homemade tattoo gun. Right.
Yeah. That stuff is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And, and I know we talked about it on here, but the, like the official bag of chips, you know, the brand of chips that is unique to prison, and then prisoners get out and they're very nostalgic for it.
Yeah.
You have to buy it.
Yeah.
That stuff's cool to me.
No. Just looking on YouTube, like reviews of, you know, people get a hold of the clear, like radios and televisions, that are, that people can buy at massively inflated rates, you know, like just you have these manufacturers. Sony just makes a line of electronics for prisons that are clear, and it's one of the only places you can get transparent electronics, which sucks because that was the peak of electronic aesthetics, is the transparent case.
Everybody loves a translucent GameCube controller. Not GameCube, Nintendo 64.
The clear purple Game Boy Color as the canonical Game Boy Color.
A good Game Boy Color.
Bring it back around.
Good GBC.
Make it
bring it back to Warlocked.
Yeah, bring it back to Warlocked. Play Warlocked on your clear purple Game Boy Color.
Yeah, like I did. There's one review here by Gecko Gamer, who is pretty extra here. The title of the review is, "This game makes me sick." No, really, it makes me vomit. Warlocked is way too overrated.
That's the one that I had open because it's the lowest one. He gave it a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, because it makes him vomit.
At the end, and now for my closing statement. Once again, don't waste your time and money on a game like this. This game is too overrated, so please don't get fooled.
Yeah, don't get fooled. It's he's basically just saying that it's not StarCraft.
True, you lots know? Of games aren't StarCraft.
Yeah, like no shit.
No.
You know, nobody is saying that this is like, if you're a huge RTS fan, like you've been playing Rise of Nations since it came out, you know. You've played all the Command and Conquerors. You have got to play Warlocked.
No.
It's just a way to launder cool, good PC genres of games into the hands of console kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, you have to think of it like a Maniac Mansion.
Yeah. Like, hey, this is, you know, it has been, you know, this is just rolled down the pipes into the machine. And like, here, this will get you through, you know, when you're on a road trip away from home and you want to play something that is like the game you have at home. Like it's a neat, you know, it's a neat little experiment that happens to function as a pretty good, you know, real-time strategy game that due to the limitations of the hardware, you know, necessarily changes the feel of it. But like, I don't know. I found myself once I figured out what buttons did what, you know, just kind of playing this like a normal, you know, game where you allocate workers and stuff.
It made me want to play another RTS.
Yeah.
Really bad. And if I were just on a road trip and if those lines haven't been like so consistently blurred now, like the Switch is doing so much to, you know, kind of blur that line. Like a lot of PC games are getting released on console, but you know, my Andrew, the guy who plays guitar in our band, played The Witcher 3 with all the DLCs, and he's not like really a gamer. Like he's just like, yeah, I heard it was really good and I had quarantine time. And I was like, man, that's fucking awesome. I'm going to shape you, my son. Like, let me introduce you to a little thing called Disco Elysium. Like you are into CRPGs now. I'm going to torment you before you die.
Also, you know? Now also on the Switch soon.
It's cool. You know, it's that kind of like, oh, I only had a console so I could only play racing games and Japanese role-playing games and platformers kind of thing is going to go away.
Yeah.
It's nice. That divide.
And I think we have indie developers and Nintendo getting their shit together on an online store to thank for that.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, optimistic.
Yeah.
About you know, kids no longer not being educated about torment.
Yeah. I need to I need to start working on a way to get my little sister to play Disco Elysium once it comes to the Switch.
Leave a little like a tiny trail of Disco Elysium carts.
Oh, you know, fuck.
To like a box with a stick and a string. Don't let her out until she's beat at.
Nope.
I got to replay that with the new version, but I'm just doing work play and then also, you know, struggling to stay alive.
Also, just you like, know, also trying to, you know, we couldn't record this episode yesterday because you had your own. I mean, did you just have plumbing on the mind because your house exploded?
Basically.
Yeah.
A plumber came and did a shadow run on a pipe.
Why are you calling it a shadow run?
because he kind of came in. Yeah, he came in with like a scope and he was like kneeling down and I've just had Shadowrun on the mind.
Okay, yeah.
And then I went in my office for a little while because I have no idea what to do when like service people, I don't like, he just like want like hovering because it feels like, you know, don't steal my cat treats. Like I don't know what he's going to steal in the fucking utility room, but I feel scummy, like just standing over his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so in my office, then I was just like, what if he just snuck in and fixed this pipe? Mm-hmm. And like Mr. Johnson, AKA my landlord, had hired him to do this, gave him the layout to my apartment and stuff, the house.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun to think about.
No, I've moved on from the like hovering over and watching them and gone to like, okay, I'm going to be over here like reading. Like I'm not going to do anything that like occupies all of my attention, but I'm going to keep an ear out. And I'm just occasionally going to walk up and say, hey, you guys want a bottle of water? Maybe a Diet Coke?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You doing okay? Would you like some water?
Yeah.
And they don't come thirsty. They never want water. It's right. Just, I don't know how else to handle the power imbalance.
When somebody's at my house, I offer them water.
Well, and I'm very uncomfortable with somebody just showing up and like fixing these pipes.
Yeah.
You know, like I keep offering to give my barber gum. Yeah. What? No, I'm just joking. This is me being polite to people in service of me.
Okay, no, I was going to say, is a barber coming to your house?
Yeah, we do in-home barbers here in Portland. It's like how you don't pump your own gas.
Right, right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. Yes.
We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Aaron, for recommending this game. I had honestly was looking for a chance to play this. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
And this was a good way to spend half an hour with it.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't make me want to do this for WoF because
it's so defined by its
limitations.
Do. Yeah.
It really did make me want to play another RTS though.
Mm-hmm.
Like soon.
Yeah.
So
this was also put into the randomizer by Dakota.
Oh, cool.
Who says that this is distinct from the movie Warlock. So.
Yeah. Very distinct.
Yeah.
So fewer orbs.
Yeah.
You can do Wings of Liberty in like 17 hours.
Oh yeah, no, that's well within the remand, maybe.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun to like go through those spaced out those different campaigns because
they're really different.
They're neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really neat and they're really different. I might just start off a replay of that for fun.
I thought you did.
No, I started a replay of StarCraft 1, the remastered version of for fun. But I really wanted to play StarCraft 2. Like I like StarCraft 1 quite a bit.
Yeah.
But StarCraft 2 is what I was craving.
Yeah.
Anywho, patreon.com/duckfeedtv, ratings and reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Think so. Yeah. Tell your friends, check out the premium episodes if you get a chance to. And as our friend on Twitter, at GirlKisserX420 always says, until next time, get ready. We're due for a ska revival.
It's been going on.
Yeah.
Not due for it. It's just kind of been continuously going on in the background for the last several years.
Every day I wake up in a bucket hat and I have to take it off and then go and bury it. And it keeps on. Yeah.
Every day I make a sherbet in a bucket hat and post it on Instagram.